Si vais terminando, por favor.
Please, photographers, we're a bit late. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today at 7:30 p.m. in the Velódromo, the Spanish production El Desconocido, Retribution in English, this will be shown. This, we've got the crew and the cast with the Dani de la Torre, the director, and also three of the cast, Luis Tosar, Goya Toledo, and Paula del Río, and the producers, Emma Lustres, Borja Pena, and Mercedes Gamero. So therefore, they are prepared to answer the questions that may have been brought up after having seen the film. Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations for the film. I liked it very much. I would like to ask the director, Daniel, apart from our a social aspect, which is very much our own here in Spain, but it reminds us of American films like Speed, and Last Call. I would like to know whether you had any of those references in mind. And I would also like to ask Luis, the leading actor, whether he prepared himself specially as a parent, father who sees his children in that situation. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Well, the truth is, it was, these are reference films, the ones that you mentioned. When you make a film of this style, it has many references. Two of them are those films that you mentioned. There are many others. I like action cinema and films. I like trepidant films like Tony Scott, Michael Mann type films, Spielberg, for example. These are some of the references. And apart from the differences that may exist, well, we want the audience to get stuck to their seats. And apart from seeing a very powerful action film, to see a background story with a social content and a marvelous love story with a father and his family to save his children's lives. Well, references, well, I don't know. One tries to find, draw things from wherever one can. I don't know how to say it. I'm not a father. I'm about to become a father, so. But I'd already played the role of a father beforehand. So I suppose I will, in a couple of months' time, I'll say, oh, I had no idea that I was talking about, because when I really become a father. But one approaches one's characters with the references one finds in life. Well, I've got parents as well, and so though I've enjoyed my parents, and they're still alive, so therefore I still enjoy my time with them. So one looks at the environment, what surrounds you. We're surrounded with friends who have got children and stepchildren, so therefore one learns. The advantage here is he didn't worry about his children until the movie's almost halfway through. All of a sudden he realizes those that are behind him are the closest beings, human beings that life has, that exist in life. But that's what the film plays upon. It was to discover with the character himself what he was discovering at the same time throughout the film. Hi, good afternoon. With Dani, I would like to talk with Dani and Luis. Goya, yours is very similar to you, because there are many times in the films it's through the phone we can hear you. Could you tell us any anecdotes as regards to the telephone? How did you prepare that character in front of and behind the screen, behind the camera? And Paula, congratulations, because your first film put up to Luis Tosar to respond. What do you mean? Because I'm ugly. What do you see? Why are you saying this? Or take it as you wish. And to move everyone the way you managed to do so, I must congratulate you. I want to know how it was to enter into movies through the big door. See, well, hello to everyone. It's unforgettable. It's the first film, and the first films are the ones that mark you the most. And it was very easy, thanks to the entire cast and the director, that have helped me very much, and I've learned a lot from them, and it was much easy thanks to them.
Bueno, y para mí el
and
que...
for me, when I read the script and I saw those marvelous scenes that the character had, well, I talked to Danny, I said, Danny, I think these scenes should be seen because they're that powerful, a woman who's that desperate. But Danny obviously said, well, Goya, you've led the script, the story's about that claustrophobia that's created in the car. But it was marvelous because the phone calls, they were all done on set, so therefore you were shooting. And Danny said, well, now you go with the guy that does the sound and we'll call you. And there was a moment in a certain scene in which I was out in the street with the sound technicians and I wanted to get the kids out of the car and hand over the money. And all of a sudden I got lost. I was in the car with them and went, I was in the car with them mentally speaking, psychologically speaking. And when the scene was finished, people started to applaud because I thought I were doing street theater. It was marvelous because all of a sudden it got me right out of where I was at that moment, and they thought that it was street theater, and I felt what it was like to make street theater. I want to thank Danny and Emma and the entire crew, that those conversations, telephone conversations, were done on set, where on location, that is to say, where you can, where it looks more real, it sounds more realistic. Next question, please. Well, I'll continue then. I'll take advantage of this moment. Mercedes, you're producing a lot of films, a variety, shooting all over Spain, the Canary Islands, in Galicia, in Madrid, in the center of Madrid, down to, what do you think of this moment, which is so good in town, varied and so different of our Spanish films? It's a moment which is a very important moment from not only from the production standpoint, but also from distribution and the exhibition of films, that Spanish films are working very well. It was a spectacular year last year. This year is going to be so also. And I think with all of the films that we're making amongst us all, not only us, but also Mediaset and Televisión Española, it's very important that amongst us all, we want to make sure that Spanish films can be the leading edge and working, and we can compete with films from other countries. Next quiz, please. Question, please.
Bueno, a mí, mientras la gente...
While the people ask questions, I would like to ask Luis Tosar how he manages to make the character evolve. So we start hating him and we end up, as an audience, being very empathic towards him. How did he do that work? Well, it was very easy reading the script and trying to do it the best as possible, because that's not my merit, and I say that sincerely. I think there's a... The film asks you that something very interesting, asks the audience something, because it places the audience at all... There's a moral judgment. They have to decide in several moments of the film which side you're on, and whether the main character that I portray is good, bad, he's regular, or he's normal, or he's got a doubtful morality. But that's not an issue of mine. That's a script that Danny and Alberto Marin wrote, and who's an expert in that sort of work. I think that Alberto controls his codes in a very perverse way of managing and taking the audience one way or the other and placing you in an uncomfortable position so that you might even regret having made a decision as the story goes on. So therefore, we tried to do it the best way possible and to portray it on the screen, but we were very helped. I think the story asked was very good on its own. The characters were related to each other very naturally because an extraordinary event obliges it to happen, and then we let ourselves go at the same time by the events, and we started to discover many things that happened with these people or these characters, even as actors, because I think we took full advantage of the urgency of the story that was so therefore we took full advantage of this during the shooting of the film. Everything that was urgent, immediate improvisation was welcomed as such. We didn't prepare it too much. I think that we set down the foundations of the relationship between the characters and and what most held each and every one of the characters, and we let ourselves go according to what was happening, because so many things had to be done during the shooting of the film that everything was okay. Well, this is what happens to this guy. He's always trying to solve the problems that arise, him and the characters of my two children within the car. The rest, perhaps, was a bit more choreographic, but or choreography, but the rest were things that happened that we didn't really know how it was going to finish at the end of the day.
See?
Buenas.
Hi, congratulations for the film. Very simple question. Your film, is it an accessible film for blind and deaf people? If it's such as the case, it's good. Congratulations. Whether you talk about these things when you shoot them, or that's to say, whether... And the second question is, what I always ask you, if I can, if you've got a minute later, to say hello for the project that I'm leading to struggle against pigmentary retinosis in all films. Yes, it is accessible. I'm sorry, we can't hear this gentleman. Yes, all of the films that we make are accessible to deaf and blind people. Congratulations and thank you very much. Yes, that's cleared up. Next question, please. Danny, for you, and there's a scene in the film that I think is quite complex to shoot. I was talking to Luis, which is the last scene, because those that live by the seaside, and when cruiser ships come in, it's very complicated. We know what happens when the cruiser ship comes in. You've got several hours to shoot. I would like to know how you managed to prepare all of those scenes, and how did it occur to you that it had to be in the middle of one of these cruiser ships? Well, it was a challenge, because the truth is the cruiser was there for the ship. What was it? It arrived at 9 a.m. and left at 5 p.m. So therefore, in fact, several takes and plates that were used later to complement different scenes. So therefore, we shot some scenes at that time where you saw the ship and you saw how large, and the entity of the harbor itself, and the others were shot. So therefore, we complemented one thing. Think both. I get up in the morning, and then the ship's leaving, and all of a sudden the ship was leaving. The last shot that the ship's leaving, I think it's with a helicopter. Yes, we took those scenes, and we were following the cruiser ship, and everyone was saying goodbye with their hands, waving their hands. But I think it was a challenge, and it makes it a much more solid film. And we were very lucky, and it worked quite well, I think. Next question, please.
Una pregunta allí al fondo.
Question at the back there, right at the back, please. Microphone, please. Hi, good afternoon. This question's for the director. Before, the colleague talked about speed or last call as a reference. In this film, I saw references to directors of the so-called handcraft, John Batham or P.J. Hyams. Could you talk about this, especially a film of John Batham, was at the right hour, where Johnny Depp has to do something to save his daughter? Yes, well, look, above a director, I belong to the audience. I was brought up seeing a lot of films. I like films. I live it very deeply, and I can tell stories now at the same time. But obviously, there are many sources that you draw from when you're a director, when you dedicate yourselves to doing this. They always have references. You always like a certain artist, for example, that you like. It happens the same with music and other artistic disciplines. Yes, the truth is that film, for me, was a reference, but I can tell you many more films. I like that it reminds you of those films, because it seems, well, that's a complete, that's at a different level, the truth be said. But the truth is, in a certain way, now perhaps we're more focused in blockbusters or more independent type films, and that the middle class films that we've been brought up with, for example, Peter Higgins, you said, or films like Die Hard or Richard Donner and directors of that nature, they were films that were marvelous. Now they are sort of, they're not made too many. So that's my perception, that, but not too many are made, too many of those kinds are made. And now Spanish films are finding that niche, like we're addressing all types of genres and great films are being made that perhaps it was much more complicated to see. And now perhaps we're covering that niche that we had with Martierna or Tony Scott or Michael Mann, those kinds of directors.
Siguiente pregunta.
Next question, please. Hi. Hello? Hello? Yes. I would like to know, Luis Tosar, how many scripts you receive on you have on your desk at home in the evening, and why you choose a story like this, a story which is a bit smaller, which comes from the outskirts, not from Madrid, from a big production company. Could you tell us about all of this? Are you giving us a hard time with this question? No. Well, obviously, because the director is very powerful, and that's why I think there were two clear premises in the material that Danny had initially, because it was still a long synopsis, shall we say. It was just over the top. It was a summary. There were two things that were important. There was a social portrait of a specific circumstance that had to do with banks, had to do with the general social failure. That environment, surroundings, or setting was exciting to only talk about it beforehand, and organized with thriller side things, a guy sitting on a bomb in a car and a guy hassling him over the phones. I thought that was very interesting to get involved in that. And now we're waiting to see how the script was finished with all of those, with those two starting points. But the truth was a very quick process, very spontaneous, and that is to say, I thought quite naturally things started to evolve, and for the times, for the present day, projects are not easy to set up, but I imagine there was an urgency of the current day situation. This story had to be told now and as clearly as possible. And then Monforte is also very important, let's say, to shoot with directors, new directors. Well, this is great. If I say no, I'm sure I'd be caught out in any case if I didn't mention his name. This question is the producer of Vaca Films, Extension, Retribution, 7 years of pardon, 7 años de perdón. You're talking about international films and also aimed clearly to the audience. Is it difficult to set up these projects in Spain nowadays? What do we need of the companies in our country to dedicate themselves to see that films are as culture, as film, as industry, and it's also, it can make money? These projects specifically that you've named, not matching compared to other projects and that are being form part of the Spanish film industry in Spain for the last 6 or 7 years. There's always one, two, or three genre films, thrillers, and that connect very well with the audiences. Fellow Cell 2011, Isla Mínima, El Niño, and now I hope El Desconocido, Retribution, can add itself to that list of films that are entertaining, commercial, open for the audience, and with a soul behind in it, and with a certain slant on society. But films that are transcendental, but very entertaining above all, films with content matter which is close to us, where actors like Luis Tosar make believable that a car has a bomb driving around a city, through the downtown of a city. I think this type of story approaches me 10 years ago was rejected by everyone, but I think now that the audience, I think that we know how to make these films well, with a good production level, with a good visual level, and if those stories that a priori or beforehand could be stories from other type of film industries and not Spanish film industry, if you provide that element that hooks people into it and makes it believable that that could happen in any city in Spain, any of the stories or the films that I've named, I think that the audience will always back us, because at the end of the day, it's to tell stories that can happen here in an entertaining way. And then films like that have got many layers, that there are audiences and people in the audience that might only see the first and second layer, and those that go all the way into the heart of the film, because these are films that have got heart and soul and that are well produced, well directed and well photographed. I think that in Spain we have a very high level of filmmakers, and we producers that are working and now have the challenge of conquering the Spanish audience and conquering foreign audiences, and to make films in English that perhaps a few years back was unthought of, but now there are 7 or 8 directors, or 4 or 5, 6 producers that can take that leap into English. We're there. It was up to us. Well, okay, we're the generation that is now doing these types of films. There will be others that will exceed us and surpass us, not us in Baca Films, but all of the other Spanish production companies that are leading, and the others will come along later, and we'll be out of date by then, just like some are being out of date as regards to the new films that are making. No, not at all. We shall not be moved. You're talking stories like, you go, well, listen, when I remember when I was young, things were done differently. Any further questions? Within the social aspects of the story, did you at no time want to save the banker and to kill the other person who had bought the preferential bonds? I say, but at the end of the film, you save the banker and you kill the guy who bought the preferential bonds. That appealing to that idea, wasn't that a risk for you when you undertook that approach? Well, I think we didn't kill the banker. The banker died as well. I think everyone's seen the film, no? I'm sorry, we can't hear from the audience. No, we can't talk about that. I'll tell you later if you don't mind. Films are not as large as life. That's the worst part of it, the downside. Any further questions? Okay. You can personally answer that question. Thank you very much to all of you for being here today, and good luck.